If you're haunted and harassed by your own inner critic, if you've ever been curious about why hypnosis works so well, if you're a seasoned hypnotist, or if you suspect that the inner critic is actually hypnotizing you to hold back from reaching the greatness that you know deep down is inside you, lean in and get inspired to get out of your comfort zone and create your one precious life with purpose and intention. If you like this show, you'll love my powerful hypnosis audio, The Answer Room, because it gives you crystal clear guidance and direction and illuminates an ingenious way to make triumphant decisions, no matter how stuck you feel or how confused you were. This powerful hypnosis audio is my gift to you when you go to theimpostermonster.com. Again, that's theimpostermonster.com. Don't forget the. Theimpostermonster.com. And yes, I'm done saying it. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. I'm Lori Hammond, and I'm truly grateful for you. Welcome, Dr. Marina. Welcome, everyone who's listening. We are starting, if you're watching from video and if you're listening to audio, Marina and I both have our hands to heart, our hands on our heart, because it's been a frazzled few minutes, us getting everything together. And so I asked her if I could just start with a centering activity that I do on a lot of my group calls. So if you're listening right now, I invite you just to place your hands on your heart if you're not driving. Notice the way your heart is beating. If you're like Marina and I, your heart may be pounding a little bit. Just notice the rhythm of your breath. Notice the way that the feeling of being supported by the surface beneath you. Notice the sensation of your tongue in your mouth. And allow your jaw to soften and your teeth to slightly separate. Allow your tongue to become heavy and rest on the floor of your mouth. And just think to yourself, I am here and all is well. And I want to welcome Dr. Marina Costina. She is a best-selling author, award-winning transformational coach, hypnotist, and healer. She guides conscious-minded individuals from lethargic status quo to a ravenous life. She has been featured in Entrepreneur, Hay House, Hay House Live, WGN, BuzzFeed, Thrive Global, Authority Magazine, People Magazine, USA Today, the Chicago Tribune, Telemundo, and Chicago Latino TV. She has also worked with numerous celebrities. I was so excited when I read this, like Kanye West, Lorna Byrne, Mike Dooley, Her Holiness. Will you pronounce this name for me, Marina?
I always say Ama because the last name is very okay.
Ama. And she presented and signed her book alongside Dr. Joe Dispenza, John
Your
Hall.
Your favorite.
Yes, he's amazing. And Rebecca Campbell. And was a business mentor at Richard Branson Center for Entrepreneurship. I am so excited to have you here today, Marina. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much. I love your energy. And when you told me, you know, when you invited me to your podcast, I'm like, wow, this is a celebrity podcast. I can't believe it. So thank you so much for having me here.
Yes, you are so welcome. Someday it will go viral and it truly will be a celebrity podcast. Well, you and I spoke on Zoom a few weeks ago. I've been watching you on Facebook. We've interacted a little bit. And when we spoke, I knew I wanted to have you here because you have such an intriguing story. And I'm sure if I were to ask you to tell me about all the adventures you've experienced, this podcast would be hours long. But if you would tell me in a nutshell, just the highlights of what you would like my audience to know and what's important about where you have been and where you are now.
You know, it's very interesting. I know that, you know, I'm listening to your podcast all the time and I learned so much from, you know, our colleagues. And I believe that your podcast theme is about, you know, taking action, right? And I am all about life is messy kind of thing, you know, and that if you wait for that perfection, you're never gonna start. You really will not. So I want to share with you that my story is very bumpy. And it really goes against everybody's expectations because, you know, we usually have, you know, like in a storytelling, everything is developing dramatically. Then there is a climax and then boom, you fall down and that's your metamorphosis, right? Well, my life is all about metamorphosis, you know? So it seemed like, you know, okay, I already crossed the border from Russia. I already traveled with one bag, you know, a long time ago. I build roads. I have a road in Iowa City that I built with this little hands. I cleaned all bathrooms in the world, I think, as it seems. I got my degrees and you would think that's your biggest breakthrough, right? Mm-hmm. And once I got all of that, I moved to Chicago. I had really great jobs, VP of whatever, you know, status, downtown Chicago, and everything crashed. And I found myself being even worse than I was when I came to the States with this little bag of clothes, you know, because I was actually homeless. I slept on the floor in a yoga studio where I was teaching yoga. I showered in the gym because there was a free membership, and I used Whole Foods for work because they had free Wi-Fi. I lost everything at once. I lost my husband. I lost my, you know, home. Both of my friends that were close moved out, you know, moved away from Chicago at the same time. I remember that I was laying on the floor. I already had my PhD. I already had all of this. My job finished. They laid me off. So I was like, seriously, universe? What's going on here? What is going on? I already have my culmination and I already have my downfall, right? But it's in that moment of completely breaking down where all of my identity, what I identified myself as a wife, as a PhD, as a VP, as whatever, as a homeowner, right? All of the identities were taken away from me. Mm-hmm. And I was laying there. One night, I remember I was crying and I felt so naked. I felt so alone. I felt so little. And I was asking myself, who am I? I'm no longer anything. And at that moment, something happened. Because that moment, you know, I was staying up late and in the morning I overslept. So I would always set up my alarm. So I wake up before my students and, you know, I'm pretending that I'm good. And they knocked at the door and my alarm didn't go off. So I'm laying there. Like, you know, I'm sleeping there. And I remember all of these fears, all of this internal conflict that was going, what do I do? Do I just pretend that I'm not there? Do I start pretending like I'm stretching? Do I just open the door and run away? You know what I mean? I honestly, and then I just opened the door and I confessed my truth because most of my students, they didn't know that I was divorced, let alone that I was homeless. And, you know, instead of, because it was such a shameful thing, I thought, and instead of kind of like judgment or ha 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 laughing at me, I found this empathy. And I found that people started hugging me and crying with me because I allowed them with my story to share their stories. And I think that as therapists, as hypnotherapists, as hypnotists, as people who try to help others, right? Not try is a bad word, right? Who help others. We really need to understand that we should not be all perfect because when you're all cool and your videos are perfection, people, you create a lot of distance with your clients. Mm-hmm. So whenever you have that human side to you, where you stand and say, yeah, I've experienced this too. And I have bad days too. But what do I do about that? That's different now than when I used to be unaware where I didn't have my tools. And I think that that's the biggest gift that we, and nobody teaches us that because, you know, we see all of these celebrities, we see all of this amazingly marketed gurus in the field. We see the video production of thousands of dollars that we cannot afford. I mean, you know, this is my production, you know, and I usually do it after Zumba. My hair is a mess. And those are the videos that get most likes. And when I hire somebody and spend this day of shooting, yeah, it's okay, but it doesn't really. So I'm not saying you should not be professional here, you know, you should not have professional videos. But what I'm trying to say is that we're so trying to hide our truth and be so perfect that sometimes we don't understand that it's actually working against us. And in our profession, where people have pain, they want to come to somebody who knows what pain is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
Yeah, it's so true. What a beautiful story. And I love this concept of identity, of finding our identity in the people that we spend time with or the things that we do. I love how you ask this question, who am I? And I'm curious, if you ask yourself that question today and you think of the who am I, maybe rewind 6 months before all of that happened, what have you noticed about that identity level shift before and after?
You know, I understood that I was always suppressing my identity and trying to find it in outsourcing my identity to other people and other things in my life, right? Because I was always told that I'm too much, you know, in school, I was always the loudest one and I couldn't understand why. I mean, other people did much worse things, but I was just loud, you know, people noticed me. My best friend was doing the same things that I did, but she was never noticed. So I always thought, was taught by society to keep it quiet, to just be less. And I thought that there was a really, you know, I mean, know that, you know, I'm not for everybody. There are some people who are just run away from my energy. But I also realized at that moment, you know, it was so empty inside. It was like as if I was dead, you know, and it was the loneliest I've ever felt in my life. It was that moment because I was trying to grab onto something and nothing. Everything was in every area of my life. Everything was wrong, supposedly. And then I just realized that, you know, yes, we're all love and light, but I am all of that, but I'm a spark. And that's what I understood, you know, and I even have a nickname among my Latin friends, chispa. Chispa means spark. And I know that that's what I bring. I bring to people this little spark, like just a little nudge, so they can start their own fire, so they can light up their own light. And I think that once I realized that and remember that, because, you know, I was a little girl. My mom and I were in line, standing in line in Soviet Russia for household items. And I had my gypsy skirt and I was dancing. I was entertaining the crowd because everybody was so boring and dark, dull reality of Soviet Russia. And I was dancing, you know, and bringing that I was a magician at that moment because I changed people's lives for that particular, whatever hour, you know, that we were standing. And I think that remembering that about ourselves,
yes. No. Mm-hmm. I see you still doing that. Sometimes I will be scrolling through Facebook and you'll pop up in my newsfeed. 1 week, I was actually having a kind of a bad day. I was getting ready to travel and I was staying at a hotel for the night. And your video came up. You were in these bouncy shoes leading a workout class. And I thought, like, I could just feel your energy through my Facebook newsfeed. And it brightened my day so much. I know this is kind of off topic, but tell me a little bit about what you were doing there and how you're still leading in-person classes. Or was that from the past? I don't know if that's still happening with COVID stuff.
It is happening. It is happening. Well, thank you so much. I want to tell you that you're a ray of sunshine for me because you always have this smile that just, woo! Lights up my day. So thank you so much. Yes, I teach Zumba. I teach yoga. And that particular day, I was actually a student. I was taking a class because, you know, I thought those bouncy things online. And I'm like, I got to try it. And it felt so natural to me because it's just, I love everything that involves some sort of feeling of flight. You know, I love jumping from high on buildings and things. So, and it was like I was bouncing. My energy was big and you expand. And it was an incredible class because I saw many different people of different ages, different shapes. And we're like this. Let's kids, you know, that's what kids do. We're like bubbly and jumpy. And it was amazing. Absolutely.
I think that's why I enjoyed it so much, because I love to fly in my dreams. And I have never jumped off a building and likely will not. But it gave me that buoyant, free feeling just watching. So it was amazing. Will you talk to me a little bit about how you work with people now? You had mentioned that you have an amazing book with an enticing title, and I would love to hear more about that, but how that work has led you into the way that you're working with people now.
You know, I actually, before I went to hypnosis, I started as an energy healer. And that was something that I did when I was a child. I always was interested. I found a book on, you know, at mom's place. I don't even know where, some mysterious book, old book, and I was reading about all of the energies and how they operate. And I was always the one who was telling everybody's future or something like that, you know, but it was just for fun. And then when I was healing, you know, after that moment of realization that life didn't end yet, so I need to do something about it, I got a lot of healing myself, right? And once I was healing myself, I think that's a common story, right? Many of us are in this field because we healed our own wounds and we want to do the same for others. And I was lucky enough, I was fortunate enough to meet really incredible teachers all over the world. I was in Siberia, I was in Mexico. And then I started, I love hypnosis because it's kind of like that perfect combination. I love the science because, you know, I come from the scientific background. I have my PhD in a traditional college. But I was always about this esoteric something, woo, 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 something, right? And I found that for me, either one is not enough. I need to constantly blend the two because I think that gives me a better understanding. So I would describe my hypnotherapy style as energy hypnosis. You know, I scan people's energy because I feel it. You know, I don't see things, I don't hear things, but I can feel things. So I scan people's energy, and no matter what they tell me, you know how it is. Sometimes we come for one reason, but the real reason is somewhere else. Right. And I use that in order to guide my practice. And before I was trying to keep it compartmentalized, and I noticed that that's not, I always need to, and that's how I come up with the best result. So I think that I attract certain type of client nowadays, and certain type of people don't come to me at all. Mm-hmm. The only logical mind, people who don't believe in anything else, they just don't come to me. And those who come to me, we have a really good, fun blend of all of this.
That's beautiful. I love how you explain that, you know, merging kind of the science side of the neurology side with the more esoteric side. That's been a really recent development for me, where I've kind of always pushed away the idea of the woo, the esoteric. And recently I've started embracing it and starting looking back at all the times in my life when I have experienced unexplainable things where I knew things I shouldn't know, and I understood things I shouldn't understand. And I thought, you know what if I just embrace the woo? And it's been really interesting to see how many people lean into that. I think there's something inside of us. There's a little part of us inside that knows there's something that is not understandable. And when we start to lean into it, it guides us in ways that we might not have experienced otherwise. And when we enmesh that with the neuroscience behind a lot of this, Dr. Andrew Huberman talks a lot about the neuroscience. He is a big believer in hypnosis. And so it's been really fun to merge the two. You mentioned that you, when you scan energy, that you feel it. And so I'm just curious, I had my energy read once years ago, and they literally were touching and feeling and experiencing things. It was really strange to me because this was in my not woo days, but it was extremely accurate. And they gave me insights that I still use to this day that have helped me tremendously in my life. And so I'm curious, is that something that you can do over Zoom?
Yes, absolutely. Energy is everywhere, right? So to be honest with you, I usually I don't have it with me today. I wanted to show you. But I show how energy travels. It travels across the ocean. It travels everywhere. So I do have Reiki sessions. Reiki is an energy healing session. And sometimes I just look at the person. I ask them to get up and move a little bit so I can see all of their energy centers, all of their chakras, in order to see what's really going on. Because energy is one thing. It never lies. You know, I have actually a equipment in my office. It's an energy scanner. So you put your hands on it and you can see the entire energetic structure of the person. And it actually is developed by physicists and engineers. So it's not just new agey stuff. It's the scientists developed that. And when I show that picture, Kanye West came for that picture. And then, you know, he sent all of his staff for that. You can have a person who is all together, everything is fine. You see their energy and you can see pretty much everything that is very important about these people, about their past, about their vulnerabilities, about their difficult times, why, and its talents. It's amazing. It really is amazing.
That is amazing. And I'm anticipating that someone who's listening to this, who might have a similar gift or a similar ambition to do something like that, what would you say to a person who is perhaps afraid of absorbing some, you know, if you see something really negative or heavy in someone, do you have ways of protecting yourself from that energy?
Of course. The best way to deal with that is, even if you don't believe in all of this stuff that we're talking about, you believe in radio stations, right? There was time when people thought it was crazy because you cannot see radio stations, yet you can hear the music, right? So what is radio stations? They're frequencies, right? Now, Lori, I will ask you, can you play rock station and classical music at the same time?
Not on the same radio.
No. Not on the same radio. The same thing happens. You know, if somebody throws this negative, I was walking the other day and my dog, I have a rescue dog, and she pulled very closely to one person on the street, you know, and we're here in the times of COVID. People are a little bit scared. And the lady turned and she started yelling at me and she told me to, she wished me to die from COVID because of that.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So it's like one of the worst, you know, negative energies that somebody can send to you. And I looked at her and I said, well, you have a good day. And I started laughing. And I didn't understand why I started laughing, but then I understood that it was intuitively, I was protecting myself because laughter, and you know a lot of Joe Dispenza's research and everything. Stephen Hawking has this research on the vibrational scale of emotions. Love, joy, peace is calibrated at 500 and up megahertz. Hate is 100. You cannot play both radio stations. So if somebody, you know, if somebody throws something negative at you, it's almost like, you know, and then I started thinking, you know what? It's interesting. Have you seen the movie, The Witches of Eastwick with Nicholas, with Cher?
I think I know what you're talking about, but I think I saw it a long, long time ago. I don't remember it.
Yes. Jack Nicholson.
There you go. Okay.
He's the devil there. And then there are three ladies who are in love with him. And so there is a scene there where he's trying to pull them into seduction and they start laughing and they start flying. And in many folkloric stories, you notice that in order to defeat the spell, you got to laugh. And now I understand why. Because laughter, love, joy, peace, 500 and up, while all of the negative energy is here. So when you're here, nothing can hit you.
Oh, That is so beautiful. I love this. I will often tell people, because a lot of times people will say, oh, affirmations don't work for me. And I want to say they work perfectly. If you were to like dig underneath the self-talk of the emotion that you were feeling, you would realize that the things you're saying to yourself, often unconsciously, you don't realize it, are really reinforcing that mood, for lack of a better word. And I'll tell them two things can't occupy the same place at the same time. So instead of trying to talk yourself into a better mood, start telling yourself how you want to feel and start reinforcing positive beliefs and reprogramming yourself with these positive beliefs. And it's just phenomenal how well it works, especially if you adjust your body language and your breathing along with it.
Absolutely. And that's why hypnosis is so magical, really, because we bypass that mind, you know, that is always, when people say affirmations, they say it from the mind. That's why it doesn't work, because mm-hmm. they do not tap into that imagination part of themselves, that creative part of themselves, that I can already imagine that I am 10 pounds lighter or whatever, yes. right?
And really feel the emotion of having it.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you have any tips for a person who struggles with that? So I have a woo-woo weight loss challenge coming up in a few days. And one of the things we'll be talking about is, you know, so often when people struggle with their weight, it's because they can only conceptualize the idea of struggling. They think of themselves as overweight. They think of themselves as a sugar addict. They think their metabolism is broken. And when I say, well, what will life be like when you have met your desired weight, they can't even conceive of it. So do you have any tips that you would offer a person who has a hard time conceptualizing and imagining they're getting to any particular goal?
I want to tell you one thing, is that whenever you are in your mind, you cannot be in your whatever spirit, creative energy, whatever. And at the same time, the second you're out of your mind, you're there. So our goal is to get a person out of their mind, that chatter, right? Now, I can give you, of course, all of these ideas of meditation. Of course, they work. But many people don't like the idea, because to get to the point of really meditating, like, you know, I'm doing this Joe Dispenza's where, you know, I sit for 1 hour and not think of anything. Now, after years and years, I can get there. But before, I would sit, and especially with my personality, I would just, you know, it was horrible. It was a torture. So I believe that meditation can be anything. It can be anything that gets you out of your mind. For example, I always tell them, the easiest ways to be in your body, right? It's not about how long you are spending time in the gym. You can be in the gym and still be in your mind. Mm. It's find the activity. I'll give you an example. For me, kickboxing is awesome for my body, but it's horrible for my mind, because if I know there are 20 reps, woo, for those 20 reps, I'm going to be in my mind. But Zumba, and why I do Zumba is my meditation time, because for 1 hour, if I start thinking of something, I lose my step. So for me, it works. For somebody, kickboxing works, because they just get into those numbers and there's nothing they can think of. So first and the easiest thing is to find an activity that completely gets you in your body. Because when you're from there, you can already get to your creative mind. The second thing I would say is to do any creative project. And the key here is not to concentrate on the result, because everybody's like, oh, I'm not a good painter. All of the limited beliefs kick in, right? I tell them, you can cook and feed it all to the pigeons. You can buy one canvas and paint over it 1,000 times. I want you to be in the process, because when we're in the process of creativity, we're not in our mind. We tap into the creator, creativity, all of these things, they are related, right? We're tapping into something else. And it just goes through us. And the more it goes through you, like anything, it becomes a habit. So it's easier to move. And of course, if you can meditate and do yoga and do energy work and Tai Chi and all of those things, it's great. But honestly, the basic things that you can do is be in your body and do something creative. Many people have kids and they don't even utilize the perfect channel of joy and creativity and just messiness. Be messy with the kids. Get your hands dirty. Go run with bare feet on the sand.
I love that. That's beautiful. It makes me want to go dig out my paints.
Yes.
Now, you had mentioned that you have encountered teachers from all over the world. And I wonder if you were to think back on all the teachers that you have encountered, if there's one particular teacher or one particular lesson that stands out to you as being transformational.
Oh, I honestly cannot choose one because I've transformed. And that's for me, this job is never over, the process of transformation, right? Because the second your ego kicks in and you're like, oh, I'll figure it out, I'm cool now. Aha, then there is going to be another layer. And I always say the universe is hitting you with a frying pan, right? That's definitely, because when your energy constantly expands, you always need to grow. If we don't grow, we die. That's simple. So you got to understand that any squeezing moments are necessary, and they are a sign that you are becoming bigger. Because, you know, if you have that much of a form and you want to occupy bigger form, you have to break it, right? You have to create bigger. So every time I noticed in my life when I was expanding my form, a teacher would show up. So yes, every teacher that I find is transformational. I would say that for me, you know, I found in hypnosis, I found Inez Simpson. She was the one who introduced me to the SP, the Simpson protocol, that involves that other dimension that's just so perfect for who I am. Mike Mandel's, of course, Freddie, of course. Yes. You know, I mean, these are people that I can't even imagine being how I would be as a hypnotherapist without them. And back long time ago, after all of my difficult moments, I graduated from a student of Dovzhenko. Dovzhenko is a hypnotist who created the whole approach to alcohol addiction. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get their training, and it's very hard to get in Russia. And every time I would go to Russia, it was not time. And this time I went, and I just don't know what happened. I found the number of the best student of his, and I called him 1,000 times, and he's like, no, I don't take students. And I just showed up at his office. And when I came for a session, I said, I don't have alcohol issues. I need you to teach me that because I know that's my calling.
Oh, wow.
And he just couldn't understand how could it be, you know, this person. And he said, okay, fine. And he taught me. And that was also transformational because now I offer these sessions. They're not for everybody, but they are pretty tough, but they work. So
that is so beautiful. And that's for people that struggle with alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's for alcohol addiction. It's one session.
Oh, amazing.
And I will use the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'll be able to give a link for that at below the show notes for here.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you so much. Okay. Yes, of
yes.
course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome. This is so amazing. I feel like we could chat and chat all day long, but is there anything that is important to you that the audience knows about you, about your work, about anything you have to say that can help inspire them to take action toward their goals or find, you know, let me back up just a minute, because something you just said, for those of you who aren't watching, Marina held up a glass of water and she talked about how as we expand, and I hope I do this explanation justice, as we expand, it's like we need a bigger vessel. And I have a quote sitting in my walk-in closet that I can't remember where I heard it, but it said, if you want a breakthrough, you need to break something. And so if you would just speak to a person who feels like this is such a struggle, like they are inching toward their goal, two steps forward, three steps back, what kind of inspiration would you have for someone who is feeling that pressure?
Well, I would say that look for the treasures there, because your pain is like a marker, red marker on your treasure map of your life that tells you that's where the treasure is hidden, because all of the most amazing things happen. Your pain is pushing you towards some resolve, right? And that resolve, whatever that is for you, is for you, right? For your benefit. And I think that looking for that is the most important thing. And also I would say that in this life, nothing is, you know, look for your biggest talents in your biggest shortcomings. Mm. Because forever I thought that I was a procrastinator. And, you know, and even though you don't see it on social media, but I have days where I just sit in my PJs and do nothing. And I used to be ashamed because my mother is not like that, right? And nobody's like that that I know. And then I realized that procrastination is an extension of my creativity. And without procrastination, I would literally die. Because when I'm in my creative power, I don't eat, I don't sleep. I'm like this, you know, plugged into something. So I need to have those moments. So those two things that we use, that society teaches us to deny in ourselves, look for the treasure there.
Oh, I love that. So you can reframe procrastination as rest.
Absolutely. I love my procrastination moments now.
I love that. Marina, this has been so amazing. Do you have time for one final question?
Of course.
I'm stealing this question from Lewis Howes. I was listening to his podcast the other day and he asked this at the end and I thought it was so cool that halfway through his question, before the guest had a chance to answer, I wrote down what my answer would be to this. So he said, imagine you're at the end of your very long, beautiful, successful life and you have written every book you wanted to read. You have gotten all the information out into the world that you would like to go into the world. And when you pass, all of that information goes away as well. But you can leave just three things for the world to know, the three most important things about life. What would those three things be?
Oh, that's a very good question, right?
I thought so too. I wish I thought of it.
No, that's good. Thank you for sharing. I think that honestly, life is, with all of the ups and downs, right? Life is just one big dance for me. I'm a dancer too, right? And I believe that, you know, it's like learning a choreography. I'm sorry, I'm not answering like exactly like you.
No, this is
probably
good.
But you know, when if choreography is thrown at you and it's new, you kind of learn the movements first and then you start adding your juiciness to it, your own personality. And I think that if you understand that life is like that, you know, it's not about necessarily doing anything right or doing it how other people want it to do. It's about learning the tools that, of course, you know, I'm all about education and learning more, but it's also getting it into your own skin and turning it your own way. Because, you know, we hypnotists or in any other profession, right, we're afraid to even start doing the same niche that somebody else because somebody has already took it. But if you do one thing and I do the same thing, we're going to be completely different, right?
Yes.
We're going to be completely different because you have your own perspective. So understanding that life is really a beautiful dance and nobody can ever, they can repeat your steps, but nobody can ever repeat your style because the style comes from all of the experiences that only you, uniquely you, had, all of the ups and downs. And so your pain and all of the messiness, you want to throw it into the dance because when you watch a dancer that expresses pain and sorrow, that's the dancer, right? I mean, can you imagine only happy dancing? That would be boring, right? Yeah. Watch flamenco dancing. My goodness, there's all of this pain of the whole world there. So dance, people, have a wonderful time and yes, just be grateful for all of these experiences and leave your mark.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you being here with me today and I can't wait to talk again.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
everybody.
I'm so grateful you've listened all the way to the end. What is one tiny action step you'll take now based on an aha moment you got during the podcast? Maybe that life-changing action step is to come accept the gift I have for you at theimpostermonster.com. Head there right now to get your powerful hypnosis audio, The Answer Room. That lets you make important decisions and get crystal clear about your next step forward on this path of purpose in your one great and precious life.